Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, of course, the holiday season, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, coming out of Thanksgiving. You know, I like to think that most of us, this is a really joy-filled time of year. We're going to see some folks we don't usually get to see. There's the presents, there's the gatherings, there's the parties. And then, of course, in the Christmas realm, you know, we have all that going on and special services and Christmas Eve service and all the decorations and the lights and the food and the treats and all that stuff and shopping for Christmas presents, which for, you know, I think a lot of people, including myself, can be a lot of fun. But remember, and I think it's important to remember this, I think I alluded to this yesterday, for every one of us that is excited and feeling all joy-filled and just really kind of all warm and bubbly this time of year, there's probably at least one other person that's having the exact opposite reaction. So today on Theology Thursday, our good friend Dr. Tate Cockrell is back, who really specializes in Christian counseling out here at the seminary and has been down that road for years and has just been a great blessing to the show. We're going to talk about dealing with the holiday blues, but really, this is a conversation that is going to be directed at two people. It's perhaps you're the one that is like me, you know, you're all into Christmas and you feel great about it. We have to be especially aware of the other person in the conversation, which is the person that really struggles. They're having a bad June, July, and August, but November and December are way worse. So when our trend is going up, theirs is taking a nosedive, and we need to talk to you today as well to help you deal with the holiday blues that you are experiencing. Tate, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Man, I always love to come spend Thursdays with you.
That's awesome. It's great to have you here. And now for people that don't know your background, just tell them a little bit about kind of your background from an education standpoint and a Christian counseling standpoint so they know who they're listening to.
Sure. So I went to seminary in Texas, and I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, a master's degree in education, and a PhD in counseling psychology, and kind of specialize in the area of marriage and family, and surprisingly enough, on this topic as well, the topic of grief.
Now, when we go down this road, I mean, at this time of year, do most counselors in this realm kind of assume that things are going to be worse this time of year? And then once you kind of started getting into counseling and were around it, not just on the educational side, but kind of down in the deep weeds, were you surprised at the prevalence of this problem?
I really was. I knew that in my own life personally that December was a harder, you know, it's a harder time of year for me just because of what my own family had gone through. But once I really started counseling and realizing that folks that I had actually seen, as you said, who were on they were on the upswing in terms of getting better, they oftentimes would then take a nosedive around the holidays, usually starting right around Thanksgiving. And so from Thanksgiving until the new year, a lot of times they would take a dip. And it was simply because, you know, they weren't having the same experience that everybody else around them was having.
And it actually draws out a bigger distinction.
Right.
Because now the whole world puts on a party. And you don't feel invited, and you're not in the mood.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and even just the fact of the sheer busyness of the season, and so even relationships that they have that are healthy, where they're having the opportunity to hang out with folks and spend time with them and be loved on and love on other people, all of a sudden they don't have that same experience. And so all their friends are busy, and they're shopping, and they're hanging out with family, and they're going to all these get-togethers, and they don't really feel like doing that. And so they get even more lonely, more isolated. The problem gets even worse.
Well, you mentioned, if you don't mind me asking, for you personally, it was an issue. So
yeah.
Share that story with us, if you would.
Yeah. So actually, this is an interesting season for me. I mean, December 6th, last week, just a few days ago, would have been my brother's birthday. He was three years older than I am. He died whenever he was 19, and he died on December the 13th. So we're coming up on the anniversary of his death. And so when that happened, whenever I was 16 years old, it kind of basically threw my family into a tailspin in terms of the grieving process that lasted for years and years and years and years. And so every year around this time, you know, right around Thanksgiving, you know, there's an empty seat at the table. And so for us, even though we've long gotten over, you know, in terms of we're in that acceptance stage of the grieving process. But even though we're in the acceptance stage, it doesn't mean that we don't have harder times around anniversaries and birthdays and those sorts of things. And for us, those are right next to each other. So they're basically a week apart. His birthday, anniversary of his death, they're just right there together. And so it does make for kind of a hard 1-2 punch for us, you know, in December.
Now, what was it about? Just how do you kind of put that into a realm that I can understand in terms of the contradictions, the contrasts in what you're experiencing personally and internally versus maybe what you're seeing around you? Take us into that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, and I know even for me around this time of year, I've got to be really careful that I'm where I need to be emotionally and spiritually because of what I'm going through, you know, personally related to my own family. But then also I'm counseling on a regular basis. And so I'm seeing individuals, who are going through these similar sorts of things. And so sometimes that even intensifies that even more. And that's oftentimes what we see with individuals who are grieving or maybe they're suffering. Maybe they haven't even lost anybody. Maybe it's the fact that they've lost a job and they don't have the finances that they have that they need around this time of year. And so sometimes that's the issue. And so, you know, just what I'm going through versus what I'm seeing them go through. I'll tell you one thing that's really beneficial related to that in kind of a 2 Corinthians 1 kind of way is it makes it really easy for me to relate to people who are going through that.
Yeah. So which side of this conversation do you want to start with in terms of the people that are struggling with the holiday blues and those of us that maybe aren't there, but we need to be aware of those that are.
Yeah, I say let's start with the folks who are struggling with it. You know, let's at least identify what it looks like. Yeah, because for those people that maybe this isn't a struggle for them, they may have a really hard time relating to what I'm talking about, what, you know, what I sometimes go through or what others go through. They may have a really hard time relating to that.
Well, so where do we start with that though? And we're going to be on a break here in about a minute, but how do we begin to unpack that? Because I want to make sure we give due time to both sides and probably more so to the people that are hurting today.
Yeah. So I think just having an awareness, and you and I talked about this before the show started, but just having an awareness that though for many of us, this time of year is just joyous and it's happy and we anticipate it, we look forward to it, there are people who are having the exact opposite experience. Like they don't look forward to it. They dread it. It's misery. Instead of feeling better, they feel worse. I think we have to start with an understanding that folks are going through that. And you know, the signs and symptoms are very similar to the signs and symptoms of depression.
Yeah.
Not being able to eat, not being able to sleep, you know, not wanting to be around people, being isolated, not having motivation. All of those are signs and symptoms of the holiday blues.
Yeah, and then so how do we engage that? What do we look for? How do we engage it? How can we minister to these people in the name of Christ? And maybe that's you, and I need to understand a little bit more about what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, so that I can love you well and be a blessing to you in a really difficult time of year for you. This is Steve Noble here with Tate Cockrell. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio, of course, Theology Thursday with our friends from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, dealing with a topic that's very real, and I'm here with Dr. Tate Cockrell, who's the Assistant Director and Doctor of Ministry Programs, Associate Professor of Counseling out here at Southeastern. I think this is your, third time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
third time. And it's been a great blessing. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. And today, talking about the holiday blues, and while many of us are really stoked, it turns out, we were just looking this up over the break, that 45% of people are just dreading this time of year. So now it's like more like 50-50.
Yeah.
So for everyone that's like me and is feeling pretty good right now, there's somebody that's just feeling horrible, and it only gets worse with the Christmas season. And so how do we deal with that? And now we're kind of addressing, we were talking about two people in the audience, and Tate brought this up a minute ago. Actually, there's a third person, which is somebody like Tate, who has a very difficult time this time of year because of family history and things that happened in the past and tragedy, but also being somebody that's trying to minister to people and love on people. So you're kind of on both sides of this question. But it's something I'm glad we're talking about. It. You know it's out there, but how do we address it? And we're talking about that side first. So for those of us that are having a pretty good season right now, things are okay. Maybe not perfect, but they're okay. So Like, what are the warning signs? What should we look for? And then how do we help somebody that's experiencing the holiday blues?
Yeah, that's great. So I think one of the things that we have to do is we've got to be proactive about being observant to people around us. It's easy to get really distracted this time of year with gift giving and presents and parties and all that. Just to have, if I could say it this way, some spiritual eyes and ears to be able to be sensitive to the people around us, so that if we see people, for instance, withdrawing from us, people that we text, we call, we hang out, we see them on a regular basis, and then all of a sudden they stop doing that. All of a sudden they're no longer around. They no longer, maybe we invite them to go to lunch and they don't go to lunch. I think some sensitivity to say, man, maybe something's going on with them. Maybe they drop a few hints here or there about, I'm not feeling well, or, I don't really feel up to going to that party, and not just assuming that maybe that's a physical thing. For many of them, it might be an emotional thing. It might be a spiritual thing. It might be, they might be grieving or suffering, yeah, or something like that. They might be, as we talked about earlier, maybe finances or something related to that. I think just having some spiritual eyes and ears to be sensitive to what's going on.
Well, so, especially giving ample weight and consideration to the stat we just found, which is, hey, listen, most of you are probably in your car right now. You're driving down the road on the highway. You're at a light, whatever. Look around. 45 to 50% of the people you're looking at are struggling with this season. So we know that odds are half the people we encounter are struggling in one way or another. And then there's also another group of people in this conversation, people that we know they've had tragedy, or we know something about the timing of their tragedy or struggles in the background, or depression or anxiety. So we really need to, super sensitive in terms of looking out for this.
Yeah, and I think that's, we go back to that. I use that word proactive a lot, where when you know somebody's going through this season, I tell my students all the time, we don't just offer help to those kinds of people. We give help to those people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what we do is we say, hey, call me if I can help. Let me know if there's something I can do for you. Well, if they're suffering, if they're hurting, there's a high likelihood that they're not gonna reach out to us. Yeah. We need to be the one that reaches out to them. So instead of saying, "Hey, call me if I can do anything," we call them and say, "Hey, can I take you to lunch?
Yeah.
Hey, can you
I'm gonna stop by.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I'm going to the movies. Would love for you to go with me. Why don't you go? I mean, not just kind of this open ended. I think in some ways we have to be aggressive to help people that we know this is going to be a difficult time of season for them.
Because do you find, Tate, that people that are struggling and experiencing the holiday blues right now don't really want to talk about it?
It's a mix, and I think you have to know the people that you're around. I think there are some folks that for them talking about it is, it's more painful, and they would much rather avoid it. I think though, for me, the majority of people that I face, particularly if we're talking about people that the reason that they're suffering is because of loss, one of the things that really hurts them the most is when they feel like everybody else around them has forgotten whoever the person is that they've lost.
Yeah.
And they hate that. And so, around this time of year, celebrating with someone, going and saying, hey, I was thinking about your son or your brother, or your daughter, or your husband, or whoever it was. I was thinking about them the other day, and giving them an opportunity to talk about that. It sounds counterproductive, like, wow, isn't that going to make them feel worse? In many cases, it doesn't make them feel worse. In many cases, I've had, a lot of my clients will say to me, because I force them to talk about those things, counseling. And so they say, doc, I love the fact that whenever I come to you, you're one of the few people that I actually get to talk about my loved one with, or I get to talk about this period of my life that I'm going through that nobody else seems to understand. And so I think it's a mixture. You got to know who you're talking to. But for me, I think the majority of folks that I deal with, they would like the opportunity to have a listening ear.
Yeah. Are there some folks that are dealing with the holiday blues that just don't want to kind of rain on somebody else's parade?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And that's one of the reasons why they isolate, is because they know everybody else around them's having a good time. They're celebrating. They're enjoying. They don't want to make other people feel bad. So what do? They just withdraw themselves from those situations.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember, and I would bring this back to an experience I had, a little over 10 years ago when my mother-in-law was dying of cancer. And we have four kids, and they were up in my in-laws, and most of my family was up in Chicago at the time. And my wife would go up with our newborn at the time, Caroline, our youngest, but the rest of us couldn't go because, quite simply, it was too expensive. And in one Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, I was home. I think I was with the kids. I don't think Gina was there. But a gal, a really sweet gal from our Sunday school class, I'll never forget this, shows up at the front door and says, "Well, Steve, we got together as a class, and she had an envelope, and we want to pay for you guys to go."
Wow.
And I was like, in my flesh and in my pride, I wanted to say, "Oh, no, Stephanie,
right,
we're good. That's so sweet. You guys are awesome, but we're fine. We don't need the help." Because by taking that, I'm admitting that I couldn't afford it myself.
That's right.
So my pride was there, and I didn't want to be seen as somebody that couldn't handle it. But if I didn't do that, if I didn't take it, then I was also robbing all of my friends
right.
of the blessing of being able to minister and love on us.
That's right.
And so God humbled me in that moment, and I, with great humility, I received that gift, and they were blessed, and we were blessed, and I think the same thing could be true of this situation.
I think you're exactly right, and I think to piggyback off of that, the idea sometimes in the church is that we so over-spiritualize suffering,
right.
you know, that we don't allow people the opportunity to suffer well and to be able to say, you know, hey, I can't handle this, and I need some help. They feel like they're less of a Christian if they admit, you know, that,
yeah.
that hey, I'm really struggling with this, and I could use a hand. I mean, I find a lot of times that the best way that I can help someone is just give them permission to have a bad day.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's so important that, and we're going to switch gears here after the break and talk to directly to you if you're in the holiday blues. I think we have to, especially in the body of Christ, that remember that God designed it to work with all these different pieces, these
right.
complementary pieces, and that he doesn't call any of us to go through it alone. He didn't design it to work that way.
Right.
He saw that man was alone. He saw that wasn't good, and that's a whole nother topic theologically, and so he brings him a helpmeet, and then there's family, and then there's community, and then there's the church. Over and over and over again, God is screaming, community, community, love one another,
right.
and that's how you'll witness for me by the way you love one another. And I think at this time of year especially, man, what an opportunity for people on both sides.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And what a shame. I've said this for years. You know, it's been 20-some-odd years since my brother passed away. And I say, what a waste if the only person that benefits from that, or the only person that gets healing from that, is me and my family. If I don't have the opportunity to utilize that in other people's lives, I think about how many times I've told his story and I've given illustrations and the lives that have been impacted by that. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is all about.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Comforting people with the comfort that you've received from the Lord. That's exactly how that works.
Sure.
I have a couple other questions about how do we reach out to people that are experiencing the holiday blues. And then we're going to turn the corner, friend. And if it's you, if you're feeling kind of down, this is really a tough time of year for you. We're going to speak directly to you when we come back with Dr. Tate Cockrell. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Theology Thursday from out here at Southeastern. We'll be right back. Christmas. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Of course, every Thursday, Theology Thursday, with our friends out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is it's the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries on the face of the planet. And I've been out here for a while. I'm 10 pages and then 50 pages away from my master's degree, which Dave Jones was in my class earlier today that I teach to local high school age homeschoolers on Christian ethics. And he's like, well, Steve, you know, Steve's been out there, you know, for, he's trying to be nice, quite a while. Like, yeah, I know. But anyway, if you go to sebts.edu/radio, you will be able to find online every resource that's available to you, Southern Baptist or not, that's irrelevant. Every resource that's available online, maybe if you're here in the Triangle area and you're not going to be like a full-time or part-time seminary student, there's still all kinds of resources at Southeastern that you can take advantage of. So just go to SEBTS, that's Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, but just the initials, okay? SEBTS.edu/radio, and you'll see all the things that you can access right there on that homepage. Really, really an awesome resource sitting out here in the great state of North Carolina. A howitzer that most people don't even, they're not even aware of the fact that it's here, which is a pity. But God's doing great things here, and we have Tate Cockrell here today, who's been back several times now on the show and really focuses on biblical counseling. We've been talking about those of us that are having a pretty good season in the Christmas season, so we're not really experiencing the holiday blues. But just some other things when we're being, we use the phrase aggressive, of course, bathe that in love, but being, you know, assertive and trying to find out, sure. you know, go to help people. Let me come see you. You call them. Don't ask them to call you. But in terms of how we can actually minister to them once we're with them, is it sometimes that, I mean, what are some things that we can do? I mean, listen, talk, recite scripture, or just like the ministry of presence? What
yeah.
what are some things that we should really just try to focus on?
Well, you stole my thunder. All of those, right? So all of those. So here's the most basic thing you can do, okay? The most basic thing you can do, teach this to every single one of my students, show up and shut up.
Wow.
If you can do that, okay, you may not be the deepest theologian.
I better stay away from Christian counseling.
Yeah, you really may not know the Bible really well. You may not know the right scriptures to quote to them or to read to them or what principles to deal with. But if you can at least just give them the gift of your presence, it's hard to minister to somebody from a distance. You can do it. I mean, an email is good, a card is good, a phone call is good, a text is good. Your presence is better. To show up, to hold a hand, to sit with somebody, to have a conversation, to listen to them one-on-one, yeah. That's really hard to beat.
If you can get to them, get to them.
Yeah.
And for the people that are suffering, that are going through the holiday blues, do you find as a counselor, Tate, that means a lot to them, that you're just there?
Yeah, it absolutely means a lot to them. I mean, I think about over the years, the number of times the people who have been in my life during times when I really needed them. And honestly, Steve, I don't remember the things that they said to me.
Wow.
But I do remember their faces. I do remember who cried with me. I remember who prayed with me. Again, I may not remember great things they said to me. And there along the way, there have been some things that people have said to me that have been really meaningful and heart impacting and life changing. But overall, over the 20 some odd years after the death of my brother, what I remember more than anything is just who's been there, yeah, and who's not, and the things they've done.
What are some definitely don't do this things?
Yeah, so the thing we talked about earlier about kind of over-spiritualizing, where we kind of use scripture to beat people over the head.
Like Romans 8:28.
Yeah. Like I jokingly tell my seminary students, if you ever quote Romans 8:28 to somebody who's actively in the midst of suffering, I'll slap you upside the head, you know.
Amen.
In the love of Jesus,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm going to do that. So I think we want to be careful about making people feel guilty about what they're going through. So I think, you definitely want to avoid that. I think you want to avoid assuming that just because you've been through something that you know exactly what somebody else is feeling.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So you kind of put, it's good to put yourself in somebody else's shoes,
sure,
but there's a limit to that. So just, you know, you may have lost a sibling just like I lost a sibling, but that doesn't mean that I'm experiencing the exact same thing that you're experiencing.
Right.
And so we want to be careful.
So avoid, I know exactly what you're feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't ever say that.
Yeah, that's a definite no-no. I know some of what you're feeling, or this is what I say a lot. And Steve, I've got 25,000 hours of counseling underneath my belt.
Wow.
What I say to them is, I can't imagine how hard this must be,
yeah,
for you. And you know what? I can't imagine how hard it is.
No.
But what I say to them is, I can't imagine how difficult this must be for you.
Yeah.
And it normalizes for them what they're going through.
And should we, well, last thing, and then we're going to talk directly to the people that are really struggling with the holiday season right now. Should we, I mean, to me, my instinct is, don't try to drag them to this Christmas party, this Christmas thing. Don't try to, it's not necessary to pull them into the holiday.
Right.
We really kind of need to go to them. Is that, am I on the right track?
I think you're absolutely right. I think you can make an invitation. I think that that's okay.
Sure, sure.
But so much better for you to go to them where they are, in the safety of where they are, in what they're familiar with and the surroundings that they're in, and not to put undue pressure on them to have to go through something that might make them feel even more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And Steve, honestly, it's amazing some of the simplest things. If I could take 30 seconds,
sure,
tell you this one,
sure,
story. So after my brother died, there was a family in my church who they were good friends with my family, and you know, they knew my brother well, they knew us well. And so every year now for 20, my brother's been dead 28 years he's been dead. Every year for 28 years, either on the day of my brother's birthday or the day before my brother's birthday, my parents get a card in the mail from this family.
Hmm.
And they say, hey, we want you to know we miss Kevin. We're thinking about him, and we know that today is going to be a hard day for you. We want you to know that we're praying for you.
Wow.
Man,
listen, blessing.
Every year when I go home to see my family, I look for that card.
Yeah,
and every year that card is there, and every year I'm encouraged that there's a family out there that remembers my brother, and they remember us, and they care for us. It took that family 10 minutes to purchase that card, put that card in the mail, stick a stamp on it. It took them 10 minutes, makes my parents' month. And I really look forward to that for months before I go home during the holidays.
An awesome story. Thanks for sharing that. So let's talk to the person that's on the other side of this conversation. They're struggling. It's a really difficult time of year. Maybe it's something that happened recently, something that happened years ago, but it happened this time of year. So where do we start with the person that's hurting today?
I think what I would say, if you're one of those people today, the very first place I would start is to tell you it's okay for you to be sad. It's okay for you to grieve. We don't want you to stay there, but oftentimes people get stuck in this rut during the holidays because they initially feel some sad feelings that they feel guilty about, and they keep wrestling with that. If they would oftentimes just admit it, talk to somebody about it, get it out instead of trying to stuff it down inside of them, just a great place to start is if you're hurting, allow yourself to hurt for a period of time. Talk to somebody about that. Cry with them. Let somebody know that you're hurting so they can pray with you, walk alongside with you. I mean, that's a great first step. If you pull away, you pretend like it's not there, you try to just ignore it, oftentimes it just gets worse.
Well, the Bible doesn't tell any of us to not weep.
That's
right. As a matter of fact, it tells us to do the opposite. That weep with those who weep. It's not saying make them stop weeping.
Right.
Mourn with those who mourn. And it talks about in Ecclesiastes. There is a time to weep. There is a time to mourn. And I think oftentimes we think, oh, we got to fix that.
Listen,
no, God designed us to do
that. That's exactly right. I say all the time related to folks who are grieving. Grieving, it's the body's natural response to significant loss or trauma or separation. It's healthy, it's natural, and it's necessary.
Yeah.
It's a necessary part of us growing and releasing that stuff that's in us. And honestly, at the end of the day, Jesus said it best in Matthew 5, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Now, I guarantee, and I know of some myself, there's some people listening, they're not grieving, it's not a loss.
Right.
Life's just hard. Life's a pain. People are a pain. Relationships are broken. Money's tight. So circumstantial things outside of grief over loss. Where do we start there?
Yeah. So I think, again, acknowledging where you are and trying to see maybe a little bit beyond the temporary circumstances that you're in that are causing all of the hurt, the suffering, the pain that you're going through. Oftentimes, we get really, really short-sighted. The example that I use all the time, Steve, if I were to pick up this piece of candy and hold it close enough to my eye so that I can't see anything but the candy, it looks like this candy is bigger than anything else in my life.
Great point.
But it's not.
It's not.
Right? It's minuscule compared to this room and everything that's in it. But we're so focused on this one thing that we can't see anything else. And sometimes during the holidays, that's what happens. We get focused on our finances and what we don't have and what everybody else has, and that becomes the focal point of our life. And so I tell folks, if there's any way that you can kind of get outside of yourself, love somebody, serve somebody, pray for somebody, you know, go serve at a homeless shelter. Go serve somebody else who's in need. And listen, it's not because you're not in need. It's not saying, oh, you don't do that because, oh, they're so much worse off than you. That's not the point.
Right, yeah.
We're not
minimizing your pain.
That's exactly right. We're not trying to minimize your pain. What we're trying to do is get you to see that there are more things in life than just the pain that you're experiencing. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's so important that we're not saying that the piece of candy in front of your eye doesn't exist.
That's right. It does exist.
We're just saying there's other things that exist too.
That's right.
And it's so easy to be trite here to go, well, you know, count your blessings one by one, yada, and all that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes they have to resolve that, hey, you know what? Between now and January 1st, my situation might not get any better.
Right.
So how am I going to change how I react to my situation
right.
if I can't change my situation?
Well, you know, so many times too, Steve, the reality is that what we begin to think about when we're hurting, the first question we have is, how do I make it stop?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not the best question to answer. Sometimes the best question to answer is, what do I need to learn and what's God trying to teach me in the midst of this?
Yeah, what do I do with it while it's here?
Right.
This is Steve Noble. We're talking to Tate Cockrell, talking about the holiday blues. And if you're not too excited about Christmas season, I'm thanking the Lord right now that you're here and we're trying to love on you and help you out. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Merry Christmas, although I don't exactly have Christmas bump music. I mean, everybody else in talk radio does, and so I've always been a rebel, so I'm going to refuse. I'm going to be a humbug on this one. I'm just going to leave my music alone. And maybe I'll change it next year. Maybe not. Anyway, welcome back. This is Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. As always, sebts.edu/radio. And you can check out all the different resources and classes and such that you can access regardless of where you live, whether you can get up here to the seminary, whether you want to be a full-time seminary student or not. That's all irrelevant for the sake of the resources that are there for you. sebts.edu/radio. We're talking to Tate Cockrell, who's out here teaching a lot of these young and some older lads and gals about Christian counseling. He's been, how many hours did you say you've done Christian counseling? That's pretty mind-boggling.
Over 25,000.
Wow, that's just, and you're smiling, and you're a very pleasant guy.
I love
very
it.
Very jolly.
I love it.
And doesn't God, at some level, call all of us to be Christian counselors?
No question about it. No question about it. Because the scripture talks about us one anothering, loving one another, forgiving one another, admonishing one another, and that's that's really what counseling
Amen.
Is.
Amen. We're talking about the holiday blues and talking specifically to those of you right now that are in that, whether it's something that happened this time of year years ago or something that's fresh, whether it's grief over a loss or just anxiety and depression or even anger over situational things, and how do you kind of manage that and work through that. And we were talking about it's not so much that we study why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? But what can I learn? What can I learn about myself? And how do I react to this? We can't oftentimes change our circumstances, but we can handle how we react to our circumstances. And then you mentioned off the air, and I'm going to put you on the spot. A great poem. You've mentioned this one on the air before, which I think will really set the stage for the remainder of our conversation.
Yeah. So Robert Browning wrote a poem years ago, and it says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me.
So how do we begin to unpack that for folks listening to us that are not feeling great today? How do they unpack that and apply it to their lives?
I think, not just grief, but pain, hurt, suffering, just having a bad day, all of that. I love your phrase you used off air, and that is nothing's wasted in God's economy.
Yeah.
I think we have to start to answer the question in the midst of seasons like this. What is it that I may need to learn about me, about other people, about God, the world around me? Because nothing's wasted in God's economy, what is it that I might be able to learn? What's God trying to teach me in the midst of this? Because if I don't learn that, then there's a likelihood that I might wind up back in this situation again and again and again.
Yeah, we talked about that off the air, too. If you're in a school situation, a training situation, you don't get it right, well, then you do it over again.
That's
and,
right.
And God loves us enough to allow us to do it over until we kind of find the fruit on that tree that he's allowed to grow. So what kind of questions should a person that's kind of sad and angry or upset and depressed and experiencing anxiety right now, what kind of questions, what kind of things should they be looking for in terms of a self-assessment?
I think that, I know in my own life, one of the questions that I start to ask whenever I'm in a bad place is, is there anything that I'm doing to contribute to this? And sometimes whenever we're hurt and we're in pain, we want to blame other people.
Sure.
We want to blame circumstances. And sometimes we are at no fault at all. And I want to be real clear that I say that. I don't want to in any way suggest that just because somebody's going through a bad time that it's their fault, because
right.
Sometimes it's not.
Thanks for clarifying.
But, Steve, sometimes it is our fault. I mean, sometimes we make bad choices. Sometimes we, sometimes we sin. We go against God's law. We go against his word. And there are consequences to that. And, I've said for years, lies don't liberate people. Only the truth liberates people.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's walking in a way that's not bringing glory to God, if they're walking in a way, even if they don't even know God, but they're walking in a way that's unhealthy, to continue to allow that person to walk in a way that's unhealthy, it's not going to liberate them. And ultimately, they're not going to have any deliverance from that hurt, pain, suffering, whatever it is that they're going through. And so I think the first question that they've got to answer is there anything that I need to change about me? Is there any decision that I'm making, attitude I've got, thought process, any of that that I need to evaluate personally in me? And if they determine that it's not in them and that it's something about their circumstances, then the second question for me is there something about the circumstance that they can change? Sometimes there's not, but sometimes there are little things that we can change, even if we can't change the whole circumstance.
Yeah, because I think sometimes we will play a Christian
yep.
and say, well, it's all in God's control.
Right.
You got to let go and let God.
Right.
Which is an easy way to escape responsibility.
That's exactly right. We use that kind of, I call it over spiritualization, right? I mean, we just throw it into God's hands. Well, if God wants me to have it any differently, he'll do that, and it's the example of the guy on the roof, right? The example that we've used where, he needs rescuing and God keeps sending people by and he says, no, God's going to rescue me. And then eventually, he gets to heaven and he says, God, why don't you rescue me? And he's like, look, I sent like 10 people by to get you,
all these boats.
The boats and the rafts and all that. And so I think we have to just be really careful that we do change the things that we can change. I mean, there are decisions that we can make. There are choices that we can make in life that are going to make our lives better. And if we can make those, then let's go about doing it.
And then what do we do with the things that we didn't create and we can't change?
Yeah, I think you get to that place where you learn contentment and you say, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. So continuing to be frustrated over and over and over again by trying to change something that can't change really just produces insanity, right? So like we say all the time, insanity is doing the same thing but expecting different results. And so like if your spouse is monumentally frustrating you and you want them to change this one thing and you've been trying to get them to change that one thing about themselves for 10 years and it doesn't happen, continuing to want that, it's probably not a really good thing on your part. Yeah. You're probably just going to end up being frustrated over and over and over again. So in this circumstance, whatever it is, sometimes we just have to get to that place where we say, you know what? Even if this doesn't change, it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change who God is. And I'm just going to learn to have contentment in that. It doesn't mean I have enjoyment. Doesn't necessarily mean I want
right.
to. I may not celebrate
not
it.
I'm not asking you to act like as if everything's fine.
That's right. But you get to the place where you just say, and I will tell you, Steve, this is part of what I do every Christmas season. I look at my calendar and look at the things that are going on, and I say I know that these period of days I'm going to be a little bluer, I'm going to be a little more depressed than what I normally am, and that's okay. And I'm just going to allow myself to do that. I'm going to give myself permission to do that. But then after that, I'm going to kind of continue to move forward.
Yeah, that you know the season's coming.
That's right.
And but you have to understand and desire for that season to end at an appropriate time.
That's right.
Now 20 years later. You know, your season's probably not as long as it was a year after.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What I say is those hard times, they get further and further apart. And then even bigger than that oftentimes is the recovery time coming off of those gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah. And then now what about loving your enemies?
Yeah.
And turning the other cheek.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're called to be sanctified in Christ and to exhibit the character of Christ. And so sometimes the things that are frustrating us and getting us down during the holidays, you know, we need to do the Christian thing, right? We need to love other people. We need to love other people. The golden rule, right? We need to love people the way we want to be loved. And, you know, the great commandment, you know, love God with all of our heart and then love others the way we love ourselves. That will go a long way.
Yeah. Well, that takes me to the 800-pound gorilla in the room. So we're coming up on Christmas Eve, Christmas parties, Christmas Day. And then for some people, it's just anxiety about the people they're going to have to spend time with.
No doubt.
So what do we do with that? That'll be the last thing that we have time
for. Yeah. So I think realize that God's brought people into your life for a reason. And so, everybody's family's a little bit crazy.
Well, the rock probably doesn't think the chisel's too friendly.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. And so at times we're going to have to be around people that we don't necessarily enjoy. But I think there's always opportunities for us to be able to celebrate. And listen, particularly during the holidays, if we don't get so wrapped up in what oftentimes we think the holidays are about, but we get more wrapped up in what the holidays truly are about, which is about Christ and his incarnation, we won't be as concerned with that family member that gets on our nerves and crazy Aunt Betty and, you know, that cousin that really wronged me 10 years ago. At the end of the day, I'll land at a place that says, you know, this season's really about God became flesh, and I as a sinner can now walk with him as a result of what Christ has done for me.
Yeah, and I think we also have to be very careful about bitterness.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying, most people know this one now, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. And I think that, you know, in the negative situations that we're in, it's how we love those that treat us terribly, which takes me all the way back to Christ, and Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And even sometimes the other person that's just taking a dump on you is a Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
And Christian, yes. Perfect, no. Sinner, yes. Getting somewhere, maybe. But that, you know, that's more between them and God than it is between me and them. But speak to us there just about a kind of dealing with that lack of forgiveness in our own hearts, lack of mercy, judgmentalism, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I think during the holidays is really a great opportunity for reconciliation for a lot of those things where maybe we have been carrying bitterness, we've been carrying unforgiveness, maybe resentment and malice and anger toward other people. The holidays are a great opportunity for us to release a lot of that. It gives us opportunities to be around those people, to be able to have conversations with them where at other points during the year we have the ability to avoid them, where maybe around the holidays we're forced to be around them.
Yeah.
And so I think at those points then we choose to do what Christ would do in those instances. And, you know, we in essence become Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet.
Yeah. And I think we have to remember that oftentimes as followers of Christ, we're called to suffer.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, there's no question that at the end of the day, God may be asking us during the holidays to suffer in a way, and it maybe has nothing to do with us, Steve. Maybe it has something to do with somebody else that he wants us to reach.
Well, listen, when you go study his life, rejection by his own town, rejection by his own people, rejection by his own family, and ultimately, even on the cross, rejection by his own Father.
That's right.
And he led the way through all of that for us, so So that suffering that we can experience always reminds me of what the apostles were talking about, you know, that they had the joy of sharing in the same suffering that he went through, which really, in a spiritual realm, not so easy for us to understand, but God always ministers in our suffering. Tate Cockrell, always great to have you. Thanks so much for sharing with us today, and Merry Christmas.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Okay, friends, tomorrow will be my buddy, Pastor Chris Connell. I will be on my way down to Charleston, South Carolina to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday party. Super excited about that. But God willing, I'll talk to you again on Monday.